Now, welcome back into In Focus News Radio KMAN. It is 9:36, and this part of the show, usually on the fourth Thursday of the month, is dedicated to Pawnee Mental Health Services here in Manhattan. Normally, we can get an update from Robin Cole, Executive Director, but filling in for her today is Jardine Coleman, who is the Pawnee Mental Health Eastern Region Therapy and Recovery Services Supervisor. Jardine, good morning.
Good morning.
Jardine wears a lot of hats in the community. She's also a member of the Manhattan Ogden School Board. That's usually where we talk to you here on In Focus, but it's a pleasure to have you on. We're going to be discussing today Minority Mental Health Month, or Mental Health Awareness Month, here in the month of July.
Yes, we are. July is Minority Mental Health Month, and Pawnee really tries to use this KMAN radio spot every year to just highlight the health disparities and to talk about raising awareness for how we can improve the state of mental health for people from marginalized communities.
All right, I'm sure there's a lot of different things to kind of unwrap here with this, but let's for those that maybe aren't as aware here, those that may be living in the majority that don't realize, you know, some of the barriers that exist right now for minorities with mental health issues.
Yeah, so in general, I think if you think about cultural differences, people who are from diverse backgrounds experience mental health differently than white people. So things that influence that might be like their communication styles, how and where they seek help. So do they go to a therapist or a pastor or family members? It also includes like how healthcare professionals interact with them. So do healthcare professionals understand how different symptoms present in different cultures? We all know that there's stigma around mental health, but that's especially the case in communities of color. We also know that how people choose to cope based on culture, and then how symptoms show up is different. And then also, because of the stigma, the availability of community support or family support varies between different cultures as well.
All right. How are minorities more or less likely to seek mental health care in their communities?
They are less likely because of those different factors. So specifically around stigma, that the idea that as a culture, you either keep family problems within families or mental health is not really talked about or even acknowledged in your community or in your family. And so that just increases the likelihood that you're not going to talk about it or not going to report those symptoms to a medical or a mental health professional.
Well, it's obviously a lot of this is education here in our community locally, but letting folks know that they're not alone. It seems like that's a real big key here.
Absolutely. And providers, like mental health providers, doctor's offices can do a lot just in how they are asking questions about mental health symptoms, making themselves more aware of how different cultures talk about what might be considered like depression or anxiety, for example. To give people space to speak up and to be seen. And then also just people in the general population, they also can start to just have those conversations. You know, a lot of people have mental health treatment or take medication for their mental health treatment and they don't talk about it. And so if the more you can destigmatize that conversation, the more likely you are to be able to bridge that that gap and let people know that they're not the only ones experiencing these things.
Yeah, we're speaking with Jardine Coleman here from Pawnee Mental Health Services. I imagine you've probably done some work in this this field here. You want to share any of your personal experience at Pawnee?
Sure. I think because Pawnee Mental Health is the provider in our community for anyone, so we do not deny services based on someone's ability to pay or whether or not they have insurance or what kind of insurance they have. We see a very large, diverse group of people. And unfortunately, I think just because of where we are in Manhattan, Kansas, our staff is not as diverse. So we are very aware that we, as therapists, need to be culturally competent and to be aware for our clients' sake so that they can feel seen and heard when they come into our offices.
That's a good point there with the staffing. I'm sure, you know, in a community of like Manhattan, I don't have the demographics broken down, but I'm sure it's not as diverse as it could be. And that could maybe create some challenges for those seeking care that maybe can't relate to them.
Exactly. And so that's why it's important that that medical offices and mental health offices, private practitioners, and community mental health centers alike take time to do internal training and understanding about how to work across cultures, how to practice intercultural communication, and how to deliver culturally competent care in their field.
How much of that is that training involves, you know, removing biases that people may have about other cultures?
That's a big part of it. Recognizing that you have bias and being able to accept that you have bias is the first part of it. And then the second part of it is working to actively challenge those biases when you see them show up. And that might look like downplaying symptoms of a client or a potential client, or not understanding their words that they're using to describe their symptoms as depression or as anxiety, because language is a part of culture. So that means it's different from culture to culture. So you really have to be able to have an awareness of different presentations of symptoms, which can be hard. I mean, there's not a book on how to be culturally competent. It takes ongoing study and work to be able to work cross-culturally in an effective and ethical way.
Yeah, I think it's an important component there, that recognizing that you have bias. I think a lot of us don't want to admit that we have biases, but it is important because ultimately, and especially in this field, you're trying to help someone. And if you can't get past some of the things that you may perceive to be true, that can really hurt the long-term care for some of these individuals.
Absolutely. And I think you hit the nail on the head with people don't want to necessarily admit they have bias. I think if you've never had something brought to your attention, how can you expect to be really great at it? You know, if you've never had conversations about other cultures around your dinner table, if you've never interacted with people from other races or ethnicities growing up, how would you expect yourself to suddenly know that in your field of work? So it's a skill that has to be developed, and all of the implicit bias and cultural competence training emphasizes that it's not a workshop that you go to. It's an ongoing process that happens slowly over time.
Yeah, we're speaking with Jardine Coleman here from Pawnee Mental Health Services. I got to squeeze a break in real quick, but we'll come back and continue our conversation here. Again, July is Minority Mental Health Awareness Month, and we'll be discussing that more here on KMAN.